Ron Sis asked, would you pray about coming back with BIMI? And I said, we'll pray about it. There's no way in the world. Why would we leave a good church and our kids there and everything? And then that was 18 years ago. For 10 years, I was Far East field director. That meant we were in Mongolia, China, Korea, Japan, Philippines, and Guam, Saipan, that whole part of the world. And then the last 8 years, I've been executive director and vice president at BIMI, which means that we do something I never dreamed we'd get to do, and that is we get to go out with our missionaries. Now, do you wonder, does anyone ever go see your missionaries? They leave here, you support them, they go. Does anyone know what they're doing? Yes, people know. We know. We get to go be with them. Last year, Lynn and I, we were in Peru about this time last year. Then I went to Australia and New Zealand. In the fall, we were in El Salvador. In November, we were in Canada. And we've been in now over, preach, I can't even believe this myself, over 40 countries of the world. And this last year, we did something. Again, we never set out to do this, but we have led people to the Lord, seen people saved now on six different continents. Not countries, continents. And we just stand back in amazement at the goodness of God. So I want you to open your Bibles with me tonight. I won't do that every night. Acts chapter 10. And before I do that, though, how many of you know the name Glenn Stevenson? Anybody been around here long enough to know? 3 weeks ago, we were with him for a whole week, preached a revival for him. I taught his son, Glenn III, at Ambassador Baptist College. And so we were up in Fairmont, West Virginia, when that polar vortex came through. It was -4 on Thursday morning, 4 degrees at Wednesday night church. Friday, it snowed all day long. And I told them they won't have church tonight. But they scraped the parking lot. And we had about as many people on, West Virginia folk, you know. I mean, we had about as many people Friday night with the snow as we'd had all the rest of the week. So God's given us a lot of good friends over the years. Sermon, I shouldn't tell you this because y'all wouldn't know if I'd ever preached it or not. Maybe you will when I get finished. Preaching sermons, anybody old enough to remember, maybe you had one, a cap gun. You know, anybody remember what a cap gun is? Well, the cap gun, sometime when you snap the trigger, sometimes it popped, sometimes it didn't, okay? Well, preaching a new sermon is kind of like that. You don't know, is it going to, and I preach all the time. I preach average 7 or 8, 9 times every week, but I'm going to preach something tonight. I've never used it before, but I think I want this to be helpful to you. Acts chapter 10, I'm going to kind of stay in the book of Acts a good bit this week. But I want you to notice, starting in verse 1, I'm not going to read all, it's a pretty long chapter, so I'm not going to read all the chapter, but certain verses. So beginning in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now let me just pause. Centurion, he was a Roman soldier. Now, this was not a Jewish person, but a person who, in verse 2 tells us a lot about him, actually a devout man. And one that feared God with all his house. That means he was teaching his family about God, even though he didn't know all about the Lord Jesus, and which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked upon him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine arms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now, as we get into this, here's my sermon tonight. I want to preach and talk tonight about two men interrupted. And so both of them, we've already been introduced a little bit to them. Drop down to verse number 9, same chapter. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. Now, God told Cornelius what to do, send for Peter. And you know the story, I won't read all the verses, but Cornelius sent some of his men to go down to where Peter was at. So God's working in Cornelius' heart, now Peter's down here. And Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour, and he became very hungry. and would have eaten, but while he made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Most of that stuff Linda and I have eaten too. Different place we've been. But anyway, this wasn't Peter's normal diet. Verse 13, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Boy, what a contradiction in terms. No, Lord. Which one's right? "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice. The vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Now, let's drop down, if you will, to verse number 24. So now, God's been working in Cornelius' heart back in the first verses. Now he had a special message for Peter, the apostle, in verse 24, "And the Mara, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and his friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself also am a man.'" Now, drop down again to verse number 34. Verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Boy, we've heard that tonight already in the testimonies. "That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up from the third day and showed him openly." And now if you would, down to verse number 43 through the end of the chapter, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, and many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, magnify God. Then answered Peter, 'Can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." Now, I don't have time tonight to preach on all that I just read. There's a lot of truth in these verses, but I want to say to you that you talk about a mission message and a mission emphasis. You see it all through here. Two men at a crossroads in their lives. How many of us have ever been there? As we sit in church and we listen to the man of God tell us that, as we just heard in the testimony, that there's a God in heaven who loves us. It's true, God so loved the world that he gave, but more than that, God loved me and God loved you. And at some point of time in our life, we sat and heard those words and the Holy Spirit was working and we came to a crossroad. And here were two men in this chapter at a different crossroads. One of them was a lost man, but a religious man. The other was a believer. And here was a prepared congregation and a prepared believer, a prepared preacher. The seeking Savior will find seeking sinners. Now there's a lot of truth in here that I'm not sure we get all of it. I'm not sure if I understand all of it. But here's what I do believe. When there's someone out in you've got countries all over the world where you support missionaries. Most of these missionaries I know personally, with just a few exceptions. When there's someone out there in a country, the country of Uganda, that has a heart to know God, God over here on the other side of the world starts working in one of his people's heart. You know where God gets his missionaries? It's not from Bible colleges. Thank God for Bible colleges. But you know where God gets his missionaries? From churches just like this one, where somebody's sitting here, and for us as the human side of us, it's kind of like out of the blue when God starts working on my heart or your heart and says, what about those people over there? There's somebody over there in Uganda. They need to hear the gospel. They need to be saved. Would you go? Would you take it? And so both of these men, one a lost man, one a believer, both of them praying. Well, let me start with a lost man. And this man, Cornelius, in the first few verses here, well, all the chapters sort of about him. Now, I just want to go back briefly. It's interesting to me. This is chapter 10. But in chapters 8, 9, and 10, somebody gets saved in each chapter. And they're so different. One of them in chapter 8 was a descendant of Ham. He was an African. He was an Ethiopian. He had been up to Jerusalem. He's on his way back down to Africa. And he's reading the Bible. He has the book of Isaiah and he's reading it. And you know, the story comes alongside and the Holy Spirit leads him there. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? And you know, watch this. Every one of these people who got saved, there was something they needed to know. And the Ethiopian eunuch needed to know that the scriptures are all about Christ. And here's what it says. Philip opened his mouth, beginning at that scripture, and taught that African that from Genesis through the time of Christ, it's all about him. And so here was this man. He needed to know more about the scripture, but when he knew the truth about it, he got saved. The second man's in chapter number 9. I'm not going to read the verses. You know, this is the story of a very religious Jewish man, a zealot, on his way to Damascus to arrest the Christians because he hated them. And on the way there was something he needed to know. He needed to know who the Savior really was. And as he journeyed and the light came, the brilliant light, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, Jesus of Nazareth. You see, here was a religious man. All the religion in the world will not save anybody. In fact, it'll do just the opposite. He needed to know who Jesus was. And here was another man in chapter 10, and he was a Semite. In chapter 10, here's a man who's a descendant of Japheth. You're talking about covering the world in three chapters. And here was this man, a Roman soldier, who was wanting to know the truth. Did you know there are some lost people out there today who really do want to know the truth? God could have sent an angel to tell them, but he didn't. In fact, the angel came and talked. This is interesting. The angel came and talked to Cornelius, but didn't give him the gospel. You know why? Because that's not God's way of doing it. You know how people get the gospel? When you take it, when I take it, when you take it, they hear it. That's the way God chose. By the way, it's a wonderful thing. There's nothing in the world like the power of a changed life. And here was this man. Each one of these people to know something. And here's some things we need to know from this story. Even good men need the Lord. I mean, you look at what we just read about Cornelius. You think, how could that man not be saved? I mean, he was praying, he was giving alms, he was teaching the rest of his family, but there was something else he needed to know. Even John Wesley, for years, traveled and was even a preacher, and he wasn't saved because he was trusting in his own righteousness and religious, spiritual praying, tithing, devout service. What else could you say about a man? Cornelius had all these things, but he was not a believer. Lost as he could be. And here's a wonderful truth. Even though he was so devout and so religious, he knew he was lost. The idea that one religion is as good as the other religion is completely false. You know why people kind of don't like us sometimes? Y'all do know that, don't you? When these folk go to Uganda, and when they go to Bolivia and all around the world, you go to Japan with me, or you go to Senegal with me in a Muslim country, they probably not going to like you too much. You know why? Because they can't stand it that we say we know the truth. They say, oh, you're arrogant. It's not arrogance at all. We're not saying we're better than they are. We're not saying we're more intelligent than they are. We're saying we're poor beggars who found free bread, come and get some. We're saying that there is only one way to heaven, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't say that out of arrogance or bigotry. The idea that every religion is equally good, no religion can save a man's soul. Now don't laugh when I tell you this, okay? Some time ago, not so long ago, I was at the barber shop. I told you not to laugh. It's all right. It's okay. I like to have fun. Y'all know me well enough. I was in the barber shop. They charged me as much as anybody else. And I asked about it. He said it's finder's fee. But anyway, I was sitting, preacher, and my barber was a former policeman who retired, and he cut hair, and he's a great man. He wouldn't most of the time let me pay, but he was cutting my hair. We started talking. This man had been a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And I started talking with him about military and about the Lord. And he said, my daddy was, here's his word, a hard shell Baptist preacher. He said, I believe all religions came down and it's all the same. And he said, I think there are just as many needs in the United States of America as there are over there. Why do you want to go to these other countries? Well, number one, I say hearty amen. There are as many needs here as anywhere else. But a military man should be smart enough to know when your commander in chief tells you something to do, you better try to do it. And ours told us to go in all the world. And this idea that everything's the same, all religion, all roads, how many of you have heard that? Yeah, all roads lead to, try that sometime. We left Chattanooga yesterday morning. If we'd have hit I-40 and gone west, we'd have been a while getting here. They're not the same, but here's the wonderful truth of this whole story. God wants people to be saved. Let me say that again. God is not hiding himself. God does not want people to perish. God, in these verses that talked about people all over the world, tribes coming in, hearing the gospel in their own language, God wants people to be saved. And here was a man who wanted to know the truth, a Roman soldier, a leader of people, a lost man. He came to a crossroad. What am I going to do? And the angel came and said, okay, here's what you're going to do. Send someone down to Peter's house. So that brings me to my second man at a crossroad, a saved man. God wants everyone in the world to know. Here's what I believe. When a person wants to know God, God works in the heart of one of his saints to get them the gospel. Think about it just a moment. Why does God call one person to some country and another person to... Now here tonight, let's think. You heard a young missionary now, young family going to Bolivia, whose grandparents have worked there, who've been in church and in good situation all their lives. But then you heard another man stand up and say they were pagan. And God in his mercy sent someone to invite them to church. I never cease to be amazed. Every year when we have new missionaries coming into BIMI and our pastors come in to hear their testimonies, they said it's worth us coming over here twice a year just to hear these testimonies of these people, some of them grew up in a preacher's home, missionary's home. Listen, most of them didn't. Many of them got saved on a bus route. A lot of them got saved in the military. I love our military churches. The gospel goes out all over the world. A saved man. I remember one day, I fly a lot. I don't hate to fly. Anybody thinks flying, traveling anymore is fun? They've never done much of it. But I was flying back, trying to get home. I'd been on the road. I was tired. And we already got to Memphis, Tennessee. If all the places, I fly Delta a lot. One of my least favorite places in the world to fly through is Memphis. Well, I got there and everything was late, and I'm trying, it's late at night, and I got to get on the flight to get back to Chattanooga so that I can get in a meeting the next morning. And so finally they boarded us and I took my seat, and I'm a frequent flyer, so I'm sitting pretty close to the front of the plane. And so I'm sitting there minding my own business. I have an aisle seat. This man and his wife gets on, and he looks kind of pitiful at me and said, "Sir, my wife is sitting in that seat beside you. Would you mind taking my seat back there? You know, I'll swap." And inside of me, I'm saying, "There's no way in the world I'm going to do that. I'm a frequent flyer. I fly. I deserve it. I'm not going." But I lied. I said, "I'll be glad to do it." I took his boarding pass. I think that seat I was in was like 4A. And so now I'm back on further, and I'm still on the aisle, but I'm back there. So I wasn't miserable, but I should have been sitting up front. Here I am back at the back. And this lady gets on, and she sits down beside me on the window seat, and I start witnessing to her. And she tells me at first she's a Christian. And then she says, my boyfriend, he's a drunk. He drinks and he's really struggling. And I said, "Well, would you tell him that you met a Baptist preacher on the airplane, and here's a gospel tract that it's about this. And then I started, the more I asked her, the more I realized, and she realized, she really wasn't a Christian. And I had already told her the story that I was supposed to be sitting up there, but I'd taken this man's seat. And so we talked a while, and before we got to Chattanooga, I had led that lady to Christ. And here's what she said to me. "God knew that you needed to be seated in whatever, 8A or whatever it was. You know why God moved me back there?" Isn't it just amazing how God, here's somebody that needs to be saved. Here's somebody that wants to serve the Lord, and God puts it all together so that he puts us in that right place so that we can have the privilege of sharing the gospel with them. Now think that, I'm working on this. Think about this moment. Peter was a man in progress, in process. Peter hadn't arrived. He had some rough edges. Let's not be too hard on him. How many of us have some of those too? Peter was a man in process. He had a long way to go. We have a long way to go. But as he prayed, God worked. Three times, at least in the Gospels, God interrupted Peter. Actually, in Peter's case, more than three. But God the Father interrupted him on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, "Lord, it's great to be here. We'll build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you. B.R. Lake," and have you heard B.R. Lake? He said he never tried to build one tabernacle. He wouldn't want to build three. But anyway, God the Father interrupted him. God the Son interrupted him. Someone asked, "Are you all going to pay taxes?" And Peter went and told Christ. Christ said, "Go put your fishing line in and catch." Anyway, the Lord, God the Son interrupted him. And here in Acts chapter 10, the Spirit of the Lord interrupted him. Lord, he didn't say it in this vision, in this story, but Peter's really saying, "I don't want to go there. Eat these animals, unclean animals. Lord, I'm a Jewish. I grew up in Judaism. I've never eaten those things. I don't want to eat those things. I don't want to go there." Brother Buford, did you ever dream when you were a little kid growing up that you would end up going to Africa? You see, all of us have some things we need to learn. 30 miles to Caesarea from where Peter was at, there's a man who needs to know about God. When a person responds to the light that he has, God gives him more light. Peter didn't understand it, but he obeyed. How many of us, God's asked us to do something, and we don't always understand it. Lord, you mean you want me to give more to missions? Did you know I would never say that if we didn't give? I did it not a couple of years ago, but this next year I'll do the Faith Promise Missions Conference in our church where we're members. And we'll walk far like everybody else. We'll put our Faith Promise. We do it even though we're not there. We tell people we're the best kind of members you can have because we're not there to cause trouble. And we send our tithe and faith promise back every month. Now, did y'all hear that? And I'm not telling you that. No, it's not about us. But these missionaries that you have come here to represent their country, they give to missions. By the way, if they don't give, you don't need to support them. I mean, that's just, you see, we're all in this together. Peter didn't understand all of it, but God wants the whole world to know. In verse 24, one of the most amazing things in this whole story, a Roman soldier at the foot of a Jew. Unbelievable. But God is unbelievable. I mean that in the right way. God is amazing, let me say it that way. A crowd gathered, Cornelius had faith, Peter preached. By the way, I'm not going to rehash all this, but you go back and reread what Peter preached. It wasn't how to become an American. You know what he preached? The historic Christ. The Christ who came from heaven and lived on this earth and lived a perfect life, died on the cross and was buried and rose again. And if you'll trust him, he'll save you. And that's what he preached. And that is the gospel. But as he listened to it, let me just go back to a couple of verses here. When people hear the gospel message, they respond to it two ways, either in judgment or for salvation. Verses 42 and 43, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. See, he is the judge. God is the judge. If we don't respond right, that's what will happen. But, verse 43, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, judgment or salvation. And then Peter stayed on several days here, teaching, discipling. Do you get the picture? That's exactly what we missionaries do. We go to the place God put a burden on our heart to go someplace. And over there in that place, there's some people that want to hear. And we go and we tell them and they get saved and we spend time with them. You see, God still uses men to reach men. That's the way it was in the New Testament time. That's the way it still is. One of my privileges in life was I've been to Mongolia several times. Mongolia is different. The first time I went there, it was 25 below zero in the daytime. You walk in the horse skin tent, the ger, they call it, or the apartment. You walk in, they give you a big bowl of hot salted horse milk. They milk those mares just like cows, and you drink horse milk every time you go somewhere, every time you enter into a house. But let me tell you a story about a lady in Mongolia. This lady was Buddhist. Her husband was an atheist. He claimed that he was going to write a book to disprove the Bible. But in their city came some outside people. and they observed these people, and they found out in a hurry that there was a difference between the Peace Corps people and missionaries. And they watched their lives and saw their testimonies, and their daughter was saved. And then both of the parents and most of the family, I met that mother and her father who, by watching believers, understood that they needed to get saved. Is God interrupting you? I don't know. See, I'm not here this week to... I would not call you. I would not try to talk you into going to Africa for all the world. No, it is. If God called you to Africa, that's the greatest thing that would ever happen. I'm not trying to talk you into it. I'm not saying you need to go to Brazil and you need to go to Canada and you need to go to Thailand. That's not for me. But here's what I do know. There's some people over in all those countries. Some of them are good people. They're not saved. But they want to know the Savior. They're open to light. When they respond to the light that they have, then God begins to stir one of our hearts. So, I want you to go. Dear Lord, I mean, you want me. Why would you? Over there, they don't speak English. They don't eat hot dogs and hamburgers. They do things differently. Not so, Lord. That's exactly what Peter said, Lord. And the Lord said, yes, you can. Because 30 miles away, there's a man that is ready to be saved if you'll go. Dear Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us to be sensitive and open to the work of your Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, this week, maybe there's somebody here tonight and they're not saved. And they're just like Cornelius. They're devout people, praying, giving alms, doing all that, but they know in their hearts they're not saved. Maybe tonight that person needs to be saved. And Lord, in a group like this, good people, these people that I know so well, most of them, you might be speaking to the heart of one or two or three or four or more and saying, won't you take the gospel to that place over there where they need to hear, where they're ready to hear. And Lord, then about our giving, all those things I just commit into your hands. Holy Spirit, stir our hearts, interrupt our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.